right.
Now that the children are dismissed, let us turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5 as we continue on our study in 1 Peter. Peter has been giving us some advice. He's been an encouragement. He's also been warning us of some of the things that we need to look out for. And he, as you can see, as you go through the entire chapter, or the entire book, you can see how it's how he switches off from encouragement to warnings, and then encouragement once more, and then where to look to, and the instructions that's given. He doesn't just it's not just a myopic kind of a viewpoint, but he's covering all of the bases that we as people are prone to. We're prone to distractions. We're prone to be led astray. It's our nature to wander because we are sheep. We are the sheep of his hands, and that's what sheep do. Sheep wander without someone there to keep them in line. Not someone to keep them in line, but keep them gathered together. Because, you know, they just go off and, you know, they're eating their grass or whatever, they're grazing, and they're not watching where they're going, they're not seeing where everybody else is. But, you know, every time that the shepherd would call, they would come back into the fold. And sometimes he'd have to go with them and guide them back. And sometimes he'd have to send the dog out. Go get them, bring them on back. Well, sometimes, you know, that's what, you know, we need to do with folks. We need to warn them that, hey, you're going astray. But we need to do it with the shepherd's love, not with a heart of condemnation. As so often that we see that the words in on social media seems to come across as. It's a pity because we don't hear the inflection of the tone of voice of those that are giving the warning. And so we would take it as, oh, you know what, they're you know, judging me or this or that or the other thing, instead of taking it with the heart that, you know, that we should have with the Lord. The Lord does not want us to stray away. He wants us to be on the forefront of his mind at all times. But he's not going to force himself on us. We have to understand that, and we have to realize that, you know, the Lord is there. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. But we have this free will. And I have prayed time and time again, Lord, take away this free will. Just let me follow you unconditionally all the time. Because I'm prone to wander. But the Lord won't do that. Because he wants willing folks. He doesn't want robots. He doesn't want to take away, you know, your choices that you have. He sets choices before you. You choose the right or you choose the wrong. It's up to you. If you don't know it's right or you don't know it's wrong, what are we supposed to do? Ask directions. And what does the Word give us? The Word gives us the instruction to go to the right hand or go to the left. Should I stay away from this or should I follow after this? What should I do, Lord? And the neat thing about the Proverbs and then the Psalms, and well, the whole Bible really, is that we have example after example after example of what happens when people go astray. What does the Lord do? He sends folks out to warn them. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all of these prophets from the old, Israel was going astray. They were doing things that were contrary to the Word of God, and yet the Lord set people out. Well, the Lord does that here today too. We have elders. We have folks that have been walking with the Lord for a long time. And that's what the elder really is someone that's known the Lord for a long time and been walking with the Lord for a long time. I think I forgot to pray, didn't I? Yes, I did. Heavenly Father, we do just come before you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the instruction that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for the elders that have gone on before. We pray, Father, that we would be mindful of the words that they have spoken by your Spirit. I pray, Father, that we would take warning, that we would be rebuked, that we would, Lord, just repent of the ways that we have been going away from you. Father, I pray that your Spirit would just permeate each and every heart here today. That, Lord, that you would cleanse us in our minds, in our hearts, and in the things that we are in habit of doing. I pray, Father, that it would be your glory that we would seek every waking moment of our lives, so we can, with a clear conscience, stand before you, giving you thanks and praise for all things. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." Now, elders, as I had mentioned before, are just that. Somebody older, somebody that has been walking with the Lord for a long time, somebody that has been through the pitfalls. We, on occasion, you know, once a year or so, we'll go to the Midwest Pastors Conference. And what this Pastors Conference is to do is to just encourage pastors by laying down things that have happened in particular fellowships. Things have happened here. These are some pitfalls that you can avoid by doing this. Or if you have something going on in your fellowship, this is the way that you can go about to, you know, smooth those things out. It's an instructional kind of time. Now, a lot of times we go there and we hear things that are going on in fellowships and wow, you know, fortunately we don't have that happen yet. But just because it's not happening now doesn't mean that it won't happen in the future. So it's good to take heed. Well, just like you read the scriptures. And as you go out, and as you know, everybody's done due diligence and gone through and read chapter 5 ahead, we know that there are some things in there that, you know, just, they don't seem to apply to my life at this time. But so what do we do? If it doesn't apply right now, what do? Cast it out? No, it's there. We'll read it. We'll mull it over and we'll give it its due credence there. But it may not apply right now, but it will apply later. So that when we come across those situations or somewhere in our study, we can go back and say, well, wait a minute, didn't I read in 1 Peter chapter 5 about X, Y, and Z? Yeah, and I'll go back and I'll look at that, and how does that apply here? So everything is a building block in your relationship with the Lord as He reveals Himself little by little, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, until we are built up in the most holy faith. And this is where elders come in. Elders come in and encourage people in the Word. They encourage people in their walk with the Lord. Going through a hard time, you come around, you can wrap yourself around it because as an elder, you know why people are going through the things that they're going through. There are some tough times that are upon us. There are some things, heavy-duty things that, man, just weigh us down. And sometimes we lose focus. Well, why did God allow this to happen in my life? Why did God allow? Doesn't He care for me? But you see, we're focused in on the situation at that point because it's so close to our heart, because it hurts so bad. But when we can look back and see the bigger picture, when we can see that the Lord allowed this to happen here in my life, as painful as it was, but it was for my good. It's for my learning. The Lord wants to take me to the next level. What level is that? Closer walk and trust in Him. That's why we go through all of the things that we go through. It's for His glory. Okay, this is a hard thing. Are you going to trust me now, the Lord would say to you? Or are you going to walk away? Remember when the disciples came to Him and the Pharisees and they started accusing Him, and Jesus said this thing, and it really blows a lot of people away because, you know, it's kind of one of those, wow, this is way out there. He says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Man, what a blow to the Jew. You can't do that. That's cannibalism on the onset, you see. But as the Spirit of God reveals to you what He's talking about, then you can say, oh, yeah, okay, I see what He's talking about. And some of the disciples said, you know what, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? In other words, who can accept this? This is a really hard saying. Just like your situation. This is a really hard situation, Lord, that You brought into my life. I don't know that I can walk with You anymore because of it. And some walked away. But others, they said, Lord, You have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? You see, they were ready to hear that because they knew who God was. They had seen the glory of God. Just like Isaiah, I have seen the Lord. He was high and lifted up. And as we saw in Proverbs, man, you've got to have a good working knowledge of who God is. He is God Almighty. He is awesome in power. He is great, but He is also to be feared. Because Jesus says, you know, don't fear him that can kill the body and then can do nothing else, but fear him rather, and this is not just reverential respect, this is be very afraid, be terrified, because he can kill the body and then afterwards can send your soul to hell. That's who you should be afraid of. If you're going to be afraid of anyone, that's the one you're going to be afraid of. And what happens when we're terrified? Well, we are really careful not to offend, aren't we? You know? It's kind of like in your company or something like that, if you, you know, happen to, you know, wherever you happen to work, oh, the CEO is coming by. And so what happens? You're on your best behavior because you don't want to offend. You don't want to lose your job. It's the same thing with the Lord. This is an earthly man that you would give, you know, honor to just by not being yourself. But here is God Almighty, the one who, you know, who controls everything, who created all things. And yet, we treat him so cavalier, so casually. We don't give him the proper respect that he is due. And so we should be mindful of the things that we speak, mindful of the things that we're you know, dwelling on. What's going on in our minds? Is this allowed by the Lord? Is this giving honor and glory to the Lord? Because these are the things that are going to be revealed when we stand before Him. Oh, yeah, you were praising me, but this was really what was going on in your head during worship. Okay? This is what you were thinking of. It wasn't about me. It was, you were putting on a show, basically. But in your mind, in your heart, those are the things that are going to be revealed when we stand before Him. These are the things that need to be cleansed. And situations orchestrated and designed by the Lord to bring these things out, man, if you're a mature believer, you're going to realize that. And you're going to say, praise God, this was in my heart. Lord, take this from me. Thank you for bringing it to my mind. But someone not quite mature yet in the faith is going to go, what's going on in me? What's happening in my head? That's where the elders come by and lift up and help. Man, this is not a strange thing. Don't worry. This is not something that's just happening to you. This happens to everybody. And this is what the purpose is. We're all supposed to be doing that. Those that have been walking with the Lord for more than a year have knows more, hopefully, than somebody that's just come to know the Lord a week. You see? So we come alongside and we help. This is what an elder is. Now, he's saying that I exhort the elders because I'm an elder. And here's my credentials. I was a witness to the sufferings of Christ. Now, this has a twofold meaning. Okay? First of all, he witnessed with his eyes the Lord Jesus Christ being pummeled and crucified and all of these things. All right? He witnessed those. But more importantly, in this application, is that he went through these things himself. He went through jail time. He went through beatings. He went through all of these things. He was a partaker. And he doesn't say he was a witness of the sufferings, but he says, but I was a partaker of his glory. You see, these sufferings that we go through, it is the glory that we get from God. Because we've taken them because we know why we've gone through them. We went through them because of our witness to Jesus Christ. And so we suffer with him. And if we suffer with him, then we will be glorified with him. And if you have the mind of Christ, this is why he went through all of those sufferings. It wasn't he enjoyed the sufferings. It was for the glory that was set before him. And it's the same thing. We go through these things and we willingly accept these things and we give praise to the Father because of these things for the glory that is set before us. Eternal life is given to each of us who claim the name of Christ. So, the partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So what are we supposed to do? Feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Now, this can have application all the way up to the pastor, all the way to the person, you know, sitting next to you. You see? This isn't a position as it is a mandate of how you conduct yourselves. Okay? feed the flock of God. Now, how do you feed the flock of God? With the Word of God. That's how you're fed. That's how you're nourished. That's how you're encouraged. You do the same with others. Because he adds to this, not by constraint, not by force, not by somebody saying, okay, you go and minister to this person over here. What are you doing sitting there? You should be over there ministering. Okay, the Holy Spirit is the one that orchestrates these things, not a person. You know, we're encouraging each other. And I mean that. And not for filthy lucre or for money, but of a ready mind. Our mind is ready. Now, sadly, in the churches today, we have there are bills that need to be paid. I get this, you know, but it's in some of these churches, they will take a sermon series and they will put it into book form and then they'll sell it in the bookstore. Now, in my mind, the Word of God is free to all. There's no charge for coming in here and hearing the Word of God. There should be no charge for an encouragement to the Word of God. You know, if somebody wants to go ahead and put a pamphlet together of some of the sermon series that we've done and give it away, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Why? Because it's not for filthy lucre's sake. You know, the Lord is going to supply the needs that are necessary. If somebody feels that this is a great thing to do, then do it. But don't do it for money's sake. Do it because of a ready mind. You want people to be equipped. This really helped me out when I was going through this time. I'm going to make it into a pamphlet and I'm going to give it out to people. I'm all for it. But when you start to merchandise things, you know, Jesus went into the temple and he cleansed the temple. And, you know, it's not that they were, you know, doing anything quote unquote wrong except for, you know, charging usury for things and, you know, a high exchange rate. But they were selling animals because the animals that they brought, priests would find fault with them. They would say, oh, there's a blemish, you can't sacrifice this, but we have some over here. We'll take this filthy animal off and we'll, you know, maybe give you a discount on another animal. And they were making merchandise of God's people. People that wanted to come and worship, that wanted to get their sins forgiven, they were putting a stumbling block in the way. Sometimes these bookstores and things like that can be cost prohibitive. There may be somebody struggling with somebody that doesn't have the money to be able to do that. You know, they may be, you know, on a fixed income or maybe even broke. Who knows? We don't know what the situations of folks are, but, oh man, I would really like them. I just, you know, and it's not a matter of going up and saying, well, I don't have any money, can I have this anyway? You know, oh, if they'd have just asked, I'd have given it to them. Oh, sure, that's great. But when you see a price tag on there, what does that say? That's what the price of the thing is, and I can't afford that, so I don't buy it. I mean, we do that in the supermarket. We do that when we go car shopping. Wherever we go. There's a price tag on there, and sometimes we just can't afford it. But there's also another thing that happens in the Church of God, and that is being lords over God's heritage. That's what the Pharisees were about. The Pharisees and the doctors of the law were about putting stumbling blocks in people's ways so that they could not rise in the ways of the Lord. Because there were segments that were sectioned out. Look, the Pharisees. Paul was a Pharisee. He kind of laid this out. He says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I went to the school of the Pharisees and we talked all the day about the Word of God. And you see how the Word of God had an effect on Paul's life. Zero effect. Zero effect. Because when the Church of Jesus Christ started to rise up, he started putting people in prison. Now, does that sound like somebody that's been really had an encounter with the true and the living God? No. Why? Well, because the Lord has a way of dealing with things. You know, we'll get into that in a little bit there when we talk about the ways of the enemy. But we should not lift ourselves up, thinking ourselves to be better than one another. Because it says here, it says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. We're not doing it for the accolades of the people around us. We're doing it because the Lord has bidden us to do it. And when we get before the Lord, he says, Lord, we are unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do. Those things that you bid us to do. That's all we could do. We couldn't go above or below anything. We could just do what you told us to do. And so we're unprofitable in that respect, in our minds, in our own eyes. So how can we lift ourselves up? So he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, I wish he would have led with this because it would have been easier to go through. But here it is at the end of this whole statement here that he's talking about when he's talking about the hierarchy. If we started with being humble before God first, see, this is what a mature believer does. We're humble before God. We don't think of ourselves more highly than anybody else. Oh, I've been walking with the Lord 30 years, but I am no higher or closer to the Lord than somebody that just came to the Lord last night. Somebody led somebody to the Lord. I am no higher or lower than they are. We are all on the same plane. And so therefore, our minds are not going to get puffed up. Oh, yeah, you know, I've been studying the Bible for 30 years, but I am just the same as you are. But I have a greater pressure to give you the Word of God that I have been learning. That's my pressure on. So if you humble yourselves, then you're going to be that example to the younger folks. Because what younger people see in the corporate world is those people that have all the authority and all of this pride and all of these things that go with corporate America, or corporate world, I should say. And they say, well, these are the people that, you know, that I'm going to be like. And humility has no place for me because I'm not going to go anywhere when I'm humble. If I don't toot my own horn, it's just like when you fill out a resume. They say, man, everything, all of your accomplishments have got to go there. You've got to really just get those out there and maybe do a little exaggeration to make your resume stand out so the people will see, oh, yeah, this person is up and coming. There's no room in there for humility. But you see, if the Spirit of the living God is in you, humility is going to be your cloak. People are going to look at you and say, man, that's a humble person. This is somebody that I can really relate to because I don't know anything. And I'm humble before God. And all of a sudden somebody comes that have been walking with the Lord for 30 years and has the same humility. Wow, they're going to be drawn to that. And they're going to be able to accept those things. But if somebody's, you know, all arrogant and proud and stuff like that, the things that there's, it may be the pure Word of God, but the delivery is just that. It's just a delivery. And nothing's going to get into that younger person. And so we have this breakdown in our society today of young people and older people. We, you know, kind of disdain older people these days as senile and not knowing what you're talking about. But those in the church, they've been around. They've seen these things. They've done these things. Now, Peter's going to kind of give us a nice example of these things. He's going to say, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. When you're a new believer in Christ, you don't know the first thing about God caring for you. You know that your sin has been forgiven because God loves you. Great. But you see, as time goes by and as the first week goes by and, man, you get hit with all these trials and temptations, you say, where's God? Why isn't he? He's here. And so an older believer comes by and starts to encourage you. No, these things are natural. These things are supposed to be happening. You've entered into spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare? What's that? And then you can start explaining to him what spiritual warfare is all about. He says, be sober. In case you were wondering what spiritual warfare is, he tells you, okay? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So what is this telling us here? Well, let me tell you what. On the onset, you say, okay, we have an enemy. There is an enemy outside of ourselves. I had mentioned a few weeks back that, hey, we have met the enemy and it is ourselves. Well, over and above that, there is an enemy from the outside that will continually, you know, try to trip us up, try to put things in front of us. But he says, but if we look here, he says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This tells me volumes. Because I've studied prophecy. And I've studied some of the, what we call models or types. And there is a name for Jesus Christ. He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's also called the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We've all heard this terminology. But what Peter here is describing for us in not so subtle terms is that we have an enemy that will try to counterfeit what God has put together. We have this thing that we call the church. And there are many churches out there that are false churches. We have a lot of religiosity out there that are not of God. There is a small remnant of folks out there that are of the church of God. The majority are not. The Lord says so himself. He says, wide is the way, and broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many go in thereat. But narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few. So if you're going through this gate where a lot of folks are going through, you may be on the wrong path. You might want to check that out. But if there's a narrow way, the narrow way being Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus says, you know, no man comes to the Father but by me. No, no one comes to the Father but by me. That's a narrow, narrow way. Now, there are many people out there. There are many denominations out there. There are, you know, what the last count? I mean, there was the Jehovah's Witness. They've got the Mormons. They've got, you know, this and that and the other. There's all manner of different religions out there. But there's only one true church of Jesus Christ. And that is his body. The one that he puts together. The one that he calls. So here we have a roaring lion counterfeiting the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as we know, and he's being as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. Here, he's trying to devour in any way or fashion that he can. Any way. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, this has quite an interesting thing when you're studying prophecy. When you start to look at this Antichrist, or the beast, as the Bible calls him. We call him the Antichrist because it's an easy, recognizable term. But there is this beast that's going to rise up. And he's going to take control of three-quarters of the world. Is going to follow after him. There's going to be a remnant that fight against him. But for the most part, he's going to be the dominant force on this earth. And it's going to be a counterfeit. In other words, he's going to look just like what people think the Messiah is supposed to look like. But he won't be the real one. He'll be a counterfeit. He's not going to wear a red flannel suit, and he's not going to have horns and a tail. A counterfeit is one that emulates the true. That's how you know it's a counterfeit. And it's going to be a good counterfeit because he's going to deceive many. But Peter here tells us the wiles of the devil. He tells us what to look for. Look for these things. Are people being devoured? Or are they growing closer to the Lord? Are they being more like the world? Or are they being less like the world and more like Christ? Are they putting on pride? Or are they putting on humility? These are the things. The Lord says, you will know them. Listen to me now. You will know them by their fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, mercy. Okay? These are the things, the fruit of the Spirit. But the works of the flesh are these: murders, hates, envies, strifes, etc., etc. And Galatians kind of spills all of those things out, but we know what those are. We can recognize those things. We can recognize when we're hateful, when we're murdering, when we're envying, when we're striving. And we know when we're at peace. When we know when we have love. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is how we know that we're following the true and the living God. When these things permeate our lives. When these things are coming forth. When people see these things and they say, you're different. If they're seeing you hateful and murderous and envious and striving, man, you're just like me. There's no difference here. You see? This is how you know you're following the true and the living God. Now, there was a time, I believe it's in Luke, when, you know, the disciples, you know, some people came and you know, they said, you know, they were coming against the Lord. They were going through Samaria or something like that. And they were moving on to Jerusalem. They had a place to go. And the Samaritans, they didn't accept the Lord. They ran him basically out of town. And I love James and John, man. These guys, they say, should we command fire to come down and consume them? And he says, you don't know what... No, leave them alone. You don't know what spirit you are of. This is not the Spirit of God to call down fire and brimstone on folks. Judgment is not yet. Judgment will become. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Let the Lord deal with them. If there's somebody in your sphere of influence that's you know, not following after the Lord, what do? Do you take your Bible and start thumping them over the head? That's not going to do any good. But if you go and you start a prayer and fasting routine for this person that their eyes would be open, you know what that's going to do? First of all, it's going to draw you closer to the Lord. It may not have any effect on them, but the Lord showed you this so that you would draw closer to Him. What a circumstance that is, huh? Let the Lord deal with it. Let the Lord have His way. He didn't call us to judge. He didn't call us to point the bony finger and say, hey, man, you're going to hell. They already know that. They already know they're going to hell. You don't have to tell them that. But what you can do is you can start to go to bat, just like the Holy Spirit does. You can get in line with God's will and start praying for that person. And that's the only thing that you can really do. Let the Lord change their mind. Let the Holy Spirit convict them. Let the Holy Spirit just, oh, man, you know. And in the process, you're going to draw closer to God. More and more, you're going to see those things. Because in verse 9, Peter says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, perfect example of this, I can't think of any better example of this, was Jesus Christ Himself. For when He was baptized, went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and He fasted and prayed. Now, a lot of folks don't realize why He went out to fast and pray. It was just kind of like one of those things that He went out there to fast and pray. Okay, great, you know. We assume that He went out there to fast and pray to hear from the Father. I mean, if you've ever done that, I mean, you say, man, I want to just hear from the Lord. I just need to get away. I'm going to go out to the desert, and I'm just going to fast, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to just seek the Lord. That's what Jesus' purpose was, to go out there and seek the face of the Father. And what happened? The enemy said, no. We're not going to have any of that. And so the enemy started to tempt the Lord. And if you want to follow close after the Lord and you seek to do that by prayer and fasting, you're going to have opposition. And what did the Lord do? The Lord went out there to seek the Father, but who shows up? Satan. And he says, oh man, no. Do this and do that and do the other thing. And the Lord did this. He countered, not with railing accusations, but He countered with the Word of God. It is so important for us Christians to know the Word of God, so that when the temptations, when the tempter comes and brings these thoughts to our mind, and oh, wait a minute, no, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, no, I need to submit myself unto the holy hand of God, not give in to my flesh. Don't give in to your flesh, give in to the Spirit of God by the Word of God. Let the Word of God be the transforming factor in all of this. So you resist steadfast with the word of God in the faith, because that's where the faith comes from. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. These same situations and same temptations come to those that are saved and unsaved. The unsaved have no power to resist, but you do because you have the faith. To him, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. This is the Holy Spirit's job to do that. We need to allow him to do that. And how do we do that? By focusing on him and not on the problem. You know, it's like things that I did when I was, in grade school still come back to haunt me. Stupid things that I've done. Why does it keep coming up? Because the enemy keeps dredging it up. Oh, you can't call yourself a Christian after you've done this, and this is what you said, and you were in church when you were... Oh, come on, really? But you see, we have to go in our minds and we have to say, the Lord has forgiven me for this, and I'm moving on from it. Because it doesn't exist anymore. I don't have to confess it anymore. I've already confessed it. It's been confessed, and I'm moving on. And I'm settled in the fact that I have been forgiven. And I will be accepted in Jesus Christ. Because it's the God of all grace. Now, grace does not give us a license to sin. God's grace gives us the ability to say no to the temptations. We have to remember this. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness of sin. If we sit there and say, oh, Lord, forgive me for this, oh, I'm sorry for that, and then continue on and do the same things over and over, that is not true. That's not repentance. Repentance is turning away from the sin, not doing it anymore. When the Scripture shows you things that you're doing that is against what he wants, then you say, Lord, this is sin. Let me turn away from this. Man, Lord, I'm hooked. My pattern of life is in this. I need your Spirit to break the chains. I need to be set free. And he will set you free when you ask him to set you free. Set me free from these things. Now, sometimes it's not just a one-time deal. You know, I mean, sometimes these habits of life have been ingrained for, 20, 30, 40 years. And to break these things, it's a continual process. No, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to follow after the Lord. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to follow after the Lord. And these things, they sometimes get wearisome. But if we persist, if we are persistent in our prayer and in our prayer lives, then the Lord will overshadow all of these things. And suddenly, those things that held us by these chains so badly, suddenly, they're not a temptation anymore. Suddenly, Lord, I want the Lord now. The Lord has taken our minds and transformed them into his image. So he can make us complete. He can establish us. What? Establish us in the truth. Strengthen us by his power. Settle us by his power. By giving us a hope and a future. That man, when I'm done with this life, I get to stand before the Lord. I get to be with the Lord forever. He's given me eternal life now. And I know what that translates to. That translates into never dying. I am never going to die because I am in the presence of the Lord right now, glorified. I know this because the Bible tells me this. You are blessed with all blessings in the heavenlies. And in heavenlies is where Christ is. Christ is in eternity. To know Christ is to be in eternity. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. The glory that we see, the dominion in our lives. Allowing him to have that dominion. He's the one that rules in this universe. We just say, praise God. It's happened in my life. This is a tragedy. My house is burned up. All of my possessions are gone. But you know what? Praise the Lord. You know, like Job. I mean, Job was a perfect example of all this. He lost everything. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He lost his servants. He lost his house. He lost his health. Covered in boils, oozing and nasty smelling. And here he lays down into the ashes ready to die. Lord, take my life. But I'm not going to say anything evil. His wife came up and says, curse God and die. I said, man, I can't do that. Shall we receive good as well as, shall we not receive evil as well as good from the hand of the Lord? To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is in Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and also doth Marcus, my son. Now Mark, this is the Mark that went with Paul and then turned away, and he went with Peter. And it's said that the Gospel of Mark is was written by this guy, but it was dictated by Peter. So if you go through the book of Mark and you start to look at that and you start to see, well, wait a minute, what's so different about Peter's or this Gospel by Mark? Well, first of all, it's about being a servant. And that's what he wanted to bring forth as Jesus Christ, as the servant. As we are to serve one another, he served us. And quite some interesting things that you'll find in there from that perspective. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. As you study the scripture, as you go through and perhaps you'll venture into prophecy and things like that, there are a few things that Peter brings out in his first and his second epistles that might be worth bearing out. So it would behoove you that when you venture into the book of the Revelation or one of the prophets of the Old Testament, Zechariah, let's say, keep in mind that there are clues, that there are hints to the understanding of these things. When we looked at the Proverbs, the basic premise of the Proverbs is to understand a proverb. And how do we understand that? By piecing together all of the things that are in there to make a whole. Now, we know that the whole Scripture is for one single purpose, and that is for the redemption of man. Armed with that information, all of the things that are contained in it, of the details, fall in line under that category. The redemption of God and man. Sin entered in, God redeemed sinful man. So, be blessed in your study. Before you study, make sure that you're prayed up. Make sure that you have the proper frame of mind, that it is for God's glory and not for your information. Okay? It is for you to draw closer to God, and Him, He will reveal Himself in due time. Heavenly Father, we do thank You. We thank You for all of the mercies that You pour out to us. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word that does establish us, that settles us. And I pray, Father, that we would allow Your Holy Spirit to comfort us, that we would allow Your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us through the bad situations that we find ourselves in, so that we may give You honor and praise in all things. And Father, as we settle in for our potluck today, I pray that You would be glorified. Glorified in all of the things that You have done in our lives to bring us to this point. And Lord, that we might have fellowship one with another that is sweet to Your ears. And that we would say things that Your Holy Spirit gives us to speak. So bless the food to our bodies. And I pray, Father, again, that You would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.